Good morning. We're going to be in Romans chapter 4 again, kind of try to finish it up today. What I have found is that there are so many thoughts in every word of Scripture that we could probably spend half a year on Romans chapter 4. I don't think you want to do that. I don't want to do that. Actually, I just wish there was more time in life to be able to study the Scriptures. But I just entitled this today, Hope, God's Message. Hope is God's message. Of course, the message of we're talking about Abraham in Romans chapter 4, and God speaks to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, and Abraham believes God. Now, in Romans chapter 12, there's two things that are established, and you know them hands down. The first is that all have what? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Along with that, you know that all things that we might do, all laws that we might keep, all actions that we might do, the Scriptures tell us in both the Old and New Testament that all of our righteousness by ourselves is like what?
Filthy rags.
Filthy rags. Our righteousness, our good deeds, no matter what we do, will never satisfy God, never satisfy a just God. And so what has he said to us? That we are sinners who need to be saved, and what do we do to be saved?
Believe.
We believe. And what do we believe? In the world today, people are talking about just believe. Does that fit the category? No. Who do we believe in? That's right. We believe in God the Savior. We believe in God. We believe in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it says in Genesis 12 and here in Romans about Abraham that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as what? That's right. So Abraham, who was a sinner, just like us, people who have rejected God and not believed in God or rebelled against God, it said Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, righteousness that satisfied God's, satisfied Almighty God, right? Now, after Abraham believed in Genesis 12, what did he do? He obeyed. God gave him some things to follow. So Abraham was going down one path. God met him and spoke to him, and he said, Abraham, this is a promise. And then Abraham, it says he believed, and then he obeyed. He trusted, and he obeyed. And that's always the sequence for God's people. It's always the sequence. Once you have become a child of God, once you have been indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, you now are a new creature in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, behold, the old things have passed away, and behold, new things have come. And so once you have believed in Christ, there is a new life, a new creation, and we are now walking and living for God. And though I'm not going to preach on James chapter 2, it says, faith without works is dead. And in part, what that's saying is, faith without the obvious showing of what it means to believe, if there's no fruit, then your faith is dead. And so there is a life. Can you understand that? There's a life of faith, a life of walking with God once you have believed in God, once you have committed your life to him. Now we're walking together with him. And like we sang today, the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, comes to live inside you. And we sang, not I, but Christ who lives in me. And by the way, the Bible also tells us that in 1 Corinthians, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? And you combine that with the teachings in other places of Scripture, and we realize not only are we indwelt by God the Holy Spirit, But John tells us that we're the abode for both the Father and the Son. And so we are indwelt, some miraculous, supernatural, wonderful, blessed way, we are indwelt by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are now new creatures in Christ Jesus. And Romans chapter 4 nails it down when it begins talking about Abraham. And we kind of break into the middle of the story here when we go to chapter 4, verse 13. And Paul is going to rehearse some of these same truths that we've already talked about and we've already thought about. Let me read the scripture here. It's on the slide behind me. Verse 13 begins, "For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law." So now we're talking about the works issue here. "It was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who were of the law are heirs," and that's heirs of the promise, look at that next phrase. Faith is what? Faith is made void. If you can work for it, and as opposed to receiving the gift of God that he provides for you, then by keeping those laws, you have now something to boast about. And the scripture tells us we have nothing to boast about. We only can humbly lean on a marvelous, merciful, gracious Savior and say, "God, I believe. Save me. I want to walk with you." And he gives you that ability. So if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise is made of no effect. And this promise that God is talking about is so multifaceted. It's the promise that God made back in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 3 especially, where he said to the woman, you know, "From your seed will come one that will bless the earth, your seed who will be the Christ eventually, and that seed will crush" who? The serpent. Crush the enemy. Crush Satan. And so we have this phrase says, faith is made void and the promise of no effect if it doesn't start by believing, by putting your faith and trust in God. Verse 15, "Because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression." Now, I'd like to briefly speak to the last half of verse 15. You see that right there? It says, "Because the law brings about wrath." Now, what do we know in Scripture? We know from the New Testament that the law is like a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. We also know from the New Testament that the law points out that we are law what? We're lawbreakers. And so the law clearly establishes that we are sinners and we need to be saved. And that's where we depend upon the mercy of God. Then the last phrase of verse 15 says this. It says, "For where there is no law, there is no transgression." And let me just ask you, where is there no law? There's law everywhere. We either have the stated law that the Bible gives us. We have the laws in our country and the laws that we have of the land. But then God also tells us that we have something in our soul. What is that law? What is that thing? It's our conscience. It's the fact that we are made in the image of God and he has put within us, the Bible tells us, a conscience so that we know what? We know right from wrong. And so where it says, where there is no law, there is no transgression. The question is, where is there no law? So because there's law everywhere, and there is always transgression, we are all sinners and we all need to be saved. Okay? There's a lot more to be said on that, but let's move forward. Verse 16. "Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace. In other words, our salvation is by faith, by believing in God, having faith in God. Good morning. Good to see you guys. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. And who was that written to? That was to Abraham. Abraham was the one that he was writing to. In the presence of him whom he believed, who is God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed so that he may become the father of many nations. I'm going to continue reading. According to what was spoken, God said to Abraham, so shall your descendants be. Now, just for history here, Abraham and Sarah at this point were how old? Okay, so God made these promises to Abraham when he was a little younger, and he left the Ur of the Chaldees, we understand, when he was somewhere around 75, and he was waiting for the promise to unfold. And by the time these promises were being spoken of, we learn that Abraham was about 100, the Bible tells us, and Sarah was about 90. Okay? So we come to this point in Romans chapter 4 where God has said to Abraham, so shall your descendants be. Verse 19, speaking about Abraham, says, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, in the idea of having children, since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness, the fact that Sarah could not have a child, the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet, that's my word there, verse 20, Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised he was able to perform. And I thought it really would have been fun to title this message, Fully Convinced. Abraham was fully convinced. Now, did he know how God was going to unfold that promise? No. Do you know how God's going to unfold the promises, the blessings that he has for you in the future? We don't know. But Abraham was fully convinced. And for years, I've been thinking about that phrase. What does it mean to walk in faith fully convinced? Fully convinced that God is able. Fully convinced that God's plan is going to unfold in my life. So fully convinced that I don't need to worry about all the things that I might tend to worry about. Rather, being fully convinced that God is able. And there's an application for us. Are we fully convinced? Do you believe in God's ability? Do you believe in who he is, that he can do what he has promised? Let me continue. It says, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he, God, had promised, he, God, was able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. That's kind of the end of that passage, and I'd just like to make some observations. This message of hope came to Abraham in a promise. And actually, the Bible tells us that when God spoke to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, he actually appeared to him. That's what the Bible says. He appeared to him, and so God spoke to Abraham. And he gave him this promise. In fact, let me turn back to Genesis chapter 12 for just a moment and read you that dialogue. It's not on the screen, Mike, but Here's what it says. So there's an interaction that's happening. And this is what God says. Now, the Lord had said to Abram, first his name was Abram, and then his name was Abraham. He says, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, Abraham listened to God, and Abraham believed God, and then Abraham obeyed God. And he actually heard the word, and he obeyed, and he followed. And I think that's, you know, we believe in Jesus Christ, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior. And we believe the promises that he has for us in the future, right? And we sing songs like Victory in Jesus, and I heard an old story, and we have a home in heaven. But then during the time while Abraham was on this planet, on this earth, there was a life of following. There was a life of obedience. There was a life of trusting God. And Abraham had some pretty severe hurdles to jump. But what he did was he trusted God. That's really what God is asking of us, that we would trust him. This is not in my notes, and I'm not going to come back to this, I don't think. But I have another sermon between last week's sermon and this week's sermon. And it was tracing where God brings up the subject of Abraham and this promise throughout the scriptures. Over 290 times does God repeat the story of Abraham throughout the Bible. In 29 different books of the Bible out of 60, God brings up the life of Abraham. And here's what he brings up. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. God made a promise to Abraham that from his seed, from his body, that there would be this nation that came. And who is the nation? The nation of Israel. And so you have Abraham, who has a son named Isaac, and Isaac has Jacob and Esau, and Jacob has 12 sons. And from those 12 sons, the tribes of Israel are born. And in a famine, they leave their country and they go to live in the land of what? Egypt. Of Egypt. They go to live in Egypt. And there in that land of Egypt, this family of about 70 people, Jacob, his 12 sons, their wives, and their kids, they grow into a nation of millions. And they come under servitude of the Egyptian Pharaoh, and they're now servants, and they live there how many years? 400 years. That's how they grow from 70 to 2+ million. Two counted, you know, the males, and if you add wives and kids, there were a lot of people in Egypt. And so God has made this promise, and the promise that God made was very specific. So from Abraham, there are his seed, his offspring, this large family called the Hebrew people. And then he says, and he uses the word seed in another way. And he says, there will come from you one who will be a king, one who will be the righteous judge. And who is he referring to? And if we had time to follow that whole line of scripture where we see how the scriptures unfold and Jesus is born of the tribe of Judah, of the line of David, and in Matthew, when Joseph and Mary, the story of Christmas that's coming up, when the story of in Matthew and Luke are unfolded and the genealogy of Jesus, the Savior, God, Emmanuel, is unfolded for us, we have right there in the line this promise of the seed of who? Abraham. God made a promise to Abraham in Genesis. It was first stated in Genesis 3, and then in Genesis 12, and in Genesis 49, then 29 other places in the scriptures throughout the history and the prophets and the gospels and Paul's writings. You have all these references to Abraham. Why in the world was Abraham so important? What had God established? And by the way, God even established it before Abraham. We'll see that. But it was through Abraham that God made these promises. And from those promises, you have eternal life. Because from his seed came the Messiah. And the Messiah, he lived and died and rose again. And the living Savior is God in the flesh, who is our Savior. The promise made to Abraham. So when you see reference in the Bible to Abraham, and you see reference to his seed, just think back to this whole unfolding of God's plan of salvation for people, for you and for me. We're going to meet Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and often that's how God is introduced. The prophet will be writing, and he will say, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? So you have this thread. So that's the sermon that I'm not going to preach, but it's really exciting to follow that through scriptures. And every time God speaks about Abraham, not every time, but almost always, it's to encourage the person who is now leading, like Joshua, when he was going into the land, and he says, Joshua, who had to take up the sword, take up the mantle from Moses, who had died. And he says, Joshua, remember the promise to Abraham. It's amazing and exciting. So let's continue. So here's some observations. This message of hope comes in a promise. First of all, the promise began before the world began. And I'll speak to that a little bit more. Second, the promise was stated in Genesis 12 to Abraham, to seeds of Abraham and to his seed, speaking of the Hebrew people and the coming Messiah. And the Bible describes that much more clearly. You may say, how do you get that out of these words? It's very clear in Scripture. Number three, the promise was realized in the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. And that's a whole nother sermon. Number four, the promise will be completely fulfilled when Christ reigns at his second coming. And we could preach on that as well. Let's continue though. I thought, you know, my wife is always encouraging me, Jim, have some kind of hooks that the people can remember the things in your sermon by. So I thought I'd take this word hope and just kind of play it out a little bit. And so H, heaven's plan that God established before time began and creation existed. If you were to look, and it speaks of this plan of God, the promise to Abraham, and God says in regard to this plan being established before creation, in Ephesians chapter 1, it says, before the world began, and it says, the Lamb slain from before the beginning of the world. That's a kind of a paraphrase. But the Lamb was slain. The work was accomplished even before that time. Number two, it's offered to all who would believe in God, as the Bible declares and not as men imagine. Now, let me describe that a little bit. So the H is for heaven's plan that God established. The O, offered to all who would believe in God. And let me, I realize I say this a lot, but God describes himself in Scripture. He tells us about his character. He tells us about his attributes. He tells us about his plan. And so it's offered to all who will believe in the God of Scripture. Not just, well, I believe in God, and it's the God that I make up or I imagine. No, Abraham believed in God, the God of Scripture, the God who was omnipotent and almighty, that's who Abraham believed in. People will say things like, well, you know, if I just sincerely follow my religion, isn't that enough? Is it? No. You need to understand how God described himself and put your faith and trust in the God of the Bible. The third thing is the P, promises from God. The promises of God had a purpose. It was to complete God's purpose and plan. The plan of salvation, God didn't think it up as an afterthought. The purpose and plan of God was unfolded. Let me just read it again. Promises from God to complete God's purpose and plan. It was for sinful man and for his glory. Back in this same passage of Romans chapter 4, verse 17 that we already read, let me read it to you again. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believes, who is God, who gives life to the dead and calls things which that do not exist as though they did. And you have this whole emphasis of to God be the glory for what he has done in this passage. And then E is for eternal hope and life with God for all who believe by faith and receive the gift of salvation through Christ. And so we have this tremendous hope that God has given to us. I'm going to read one more verse of scripture from Romans 4, verse 19, and it says this. Abraham, not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. So, I'd just like to leave you with some things that we can appropriately gain from this verse of scripture. I just called it seven truths that maintain hope for believers. We need hope, don't we? Do you ever face things and feel a bit hopeless? You're not sure what's going to happen. You're not sure how it's all going to pan out. Just look at some of the things that Abraham learned when he was believing God. The first thing, as a believer, no matter how hopeless life's concerns seem, the answer that Abraham, that was written about Abraham, was not being weak in faith. Okay, so here's the story. You face concerns that seem overwhelming, right? Look back to Abraham. Abraham was 100 years old. His wife was 90. God said, you're going to have a son. Would you think that was a problem for you? Absolutely. You're going to have a son. And from that son, a nation will be born. And from that son, a Savior will arrive on the scene. And Abraham is 100 years old. And he and Sarah, they start doing what we do, right? They start thinking about the options. Well, what could we do, you know? And Sarah suggests Hagar. And Hagar does have a son, right? And that doesn't turn out real well, right? So here's what happens. We face difficult, impossible crisis situations. It said that in this passage, not being weak in faith. And I would just challenge you, no matter what you face, don't walk away from God. Trust him. Walk with him. Believe in him. He knows your circumstances. He knows how difficult it is right now. And you know what? He may even have a different purpose in mind than you have in mind. You may be hoping for this outcome, and he brings this outcome. But is he trustworthy? He is trustworthy. The second thing, as a believer, don't waver in unbelief as to what God has promised. Don't limit God to what we think or plan. And that kind of fits with the last one. Don't limit God to what you think or plan. God has a much bigger plan than you have. God sees beyond what you can see. He sees beyond what I can see. Sometimes we may get exhausted. We may feel hopeless again. We may see absolutely no way through this situation. It says, Abraham, not being weak in faith, wavered not in unbelief. I just want you to know that your God is trustworthy. I had a little phrase after this, and I took it out, but what's your favorite miracle in the Bible? If you want to have evidence for why Abraham didn't waver in unbelief, what are the things in Scripture that are a testimony to you that God is able to do far beyond what you could ever ask or think? Raising Lazarus, walking on water, parting the sea is really the one that comes to my mind most often.
Delivering the Jews out of Egypt.
Yeah. Tons of miraculous events right there. Yep. So here we have this phrase. And my admonition to us is, as a believer, don't waver in unbelief as to what God has promised. Don't limit God to what we think or plan. Abraham did not waver in unbelief. And then the third thing that I think we get from Abraham is, as a believer, choose to be strengthened. It says in the scripture, let me finish that sentence. Choose to be strengthened in your faith in God through all life brings you. It says in the passage, Abraham was strengthened in his faith. In the little book of Jude, it talks about being built up in your most holy faith. If you face a circumstance or a situation that seems insurmountable, remember who God is. Remember that you want his plan to unfold. Be willing to be moldable by God, and choose to be strengthened in your faith. How does a person strengthen themselves in their faith? Pray. Okay, so you got a situation you're facing, so you pray and you say, God, here it is. I need your help. I don't know how it's going to happen. How else are you strengthened in your faith? Believing the word. Worship. Yep, surrender, worship, focusing on God and worshiping him. You know, it's obvious, and you're all thinking it, but faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You want to know God? You want to know how he works? You want to know how powerful he is? You want to be strengthened in your faith? Here it is.
Study the word of God.
The next one. As a believer, choose to give God glory. He is the glorious one who deserves glory, praise, and honor. And in this passage about Abraham, it says, I'm going to read verse 20 again. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. There's a number of ways that we can give God glory. Maybe you could just list a few, but we've sung today and we've lifted up his name. But just help me. What might be one of the best ways you could give him glory? Obey him. Just do what he says. By doing what he says, that reflects your belief. I believe God, I'm going to obey him. Giving thanks in everything. You're quoting scripture, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Give him glory, you know, to obey him, just to trust him.
Give him the credit.
Yeah. Is that hard for you sometimes, to trust and obey? I'm challenged every day to trust him and obey. But Abraham, even though he was as good as dead, he didn't waver in unbelief. He believed the promises of God, and he said, God, to you be the glory. Now, you know, you go back through the life of Abraham, and you see, again, like we talked last week, how God said, I want your son, your only son. Man, to not waver in unbelief then, that'd be a tough one. And, but Abraham chose to give God glory along the way. And to me, what that indicates is he was believing God. He believed the integrity of God. He believed that God was unfolding his plan and it was right. And God would watch over him and bless him, and he could trust him. He gave God glory. You know, when you think back onto Abraham's life, it was not cush. Do you know where Abraham lived his whole life? In tents. You guys like camping? It's 365 days for your whole life. No plumbing. And so on, no hot showers, you know. I'm serious. There's a place where we even kind of wonder sometimes, I wonder if God's forgotten me. My hot water heater's broken. I wonder if God's forgotten me. I don't have this or I don't have that. And we have to remember, we're here about God's plan. We're here about what God is doing in this economy. By the way, we're very blessed to have all those things we just chuckled about. Ron, what were you going to say, brother? You have to speak real loud so these folks can hear you over here.
The first and foremost commandment fulfills basically everything.
Right. Love the Lord your God. Heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Mm-hmm. And I'm really, my heart is really for Israel. I fly the Israel flag. I think that that promise, Israel is an eternal state. It's God's holy land. It's where Jesus was born. It's where he will come back and will forever be going up to Israel, to Jerusalem. And then we have two
Yeah, let me say, the good thing is God's plans are not going to be thwarted by people who stand opposed to Israel. People have stood opposed to Israel for centuries, and God will have his way. We need to pray all the time. And in the meantime, even when things look bleak and people are saying anti-God, anti-scripture things, we just have to realize there's an enemy out there, and we're standing with God, and God's plans will unfold. The last couple of things, so we give God glory, and then as a believer, be fully convinced. I'm not sure there's a believer on the planet who's fully convinced. But I'll tell you what, bolster your confidence in God. Preach it, live it, talk it, repeat it, pray about it. Remind yourself, my God is God. My God is faithful. My God is trustworthy. I can trust God. Be fully convinced. Abraham was not perfect, but he knew and believed the promises of God. And then as a believer, know that God is able to perform all that he promised. What he has promised was said of Abraham, he was able to perform. Now, don't put your own false promises in there, okay? What God has promised, he is able to perform. But don't put your own expectations in there and expect God to perform them and then become disappointed when your desires don't come true. God is able to perform all that he has promised that he will do for you. And by the way, it's plenty. You're not going to miss out. And then the last thing, Abraham believed God. And as believers, we must believe God. This belief, faith, trust, obedience, God blessed and rewards and rewarded. Abraham believed God. I'm just going to read these last couple of verses as a conclusion. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, and I love this because it ties it together with us right here. It says, now, it was not written for his, Abraham's sake alone, that it was imputed to him. But for who? For us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered because of our offenses, the sin that needed to be forgiven, and he was raised because of our justification, our need to have our sin debt cleared. Okay? So in this passage, what it says is, these promises and this imputed righteousness, this promise was not just written for Abraham, but for all who what? It's pretty simple. For all who believe, who put their faith and trust in the living God, in the Messiah, in Emmanuel, it's Christ the Savior. So, God has given us a lot of meat to chew on. Would you pray with me, and worship team, would you come up? Our Father, we are grateful. There's so much, Lord, to understand and learn. Lord, if I was to summarize it, I'm so glad that the promise of deliverance was established before the world began. Abraham believed God. And we are told to believe, put our faith in the living God of Scripture as Abraham did. We know that we are sinners, and we know that the wages of sin is death. But we also know there's nothing we can do to become righteous except to believe in you, to trust you, and that's followed by a fruit, a life of fruit and faith. Lord, I thank you that as Abraham went through these difficulties, it says that he did not waver in unbelief, but he was strengthened in his faith, knowing that he who promised was faithful and able. And I pray, God, that we would know that our Savior, our God, is faithful and able to keep all the promises that he has made for us. What rich believers we are. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. For Jesus' sake, amen. Amen. Let's stand together. These are such beautiful old songs as people tried to put the truth of Scripture to music. And it will be singing and shouting the victory when we see Christ. Let's pray. God, thank you. We pray for those that are being baptized today that you would give them courage. And Lord, that they know that we love them and that we're rejoicing as they are taking a stand as an example of their faith and trust in Christ. Guide us this afternoon. Take us safely up. And may you bless our fellowship together, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. See you at the lake. Thank you.